So here we find two aspects. One is this house is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second aspect of the masjid is the people that frequent the masjid. They are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They should not be troubled. They should not be harassed. They should not be inconvenienced. Their feelings should not be hurt under any circumstances whatsoever. Simple example, somebody comes to my house and he's my honored and respected guest. Any person that ventures near to hurt him, to harm him, to disturb him, to harass him, will hurt my feelings. Will hurt my feelings if he hurts the feelings of my honored guest. So if we hurt the feelings of the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are we hurting? Who are we going against? That mu'min, as long as he's out, he's a mu'min, he has a lot of rights upon us. But the moment he enters into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is raised to such a high status, we cannot even imagine. Imagine that person that makes his wudu at home and begins to walk towards the house of Allah. In the hadith, is like that person who has worn his ihram and is going towards the Baytullah. When he enters into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he sits here in the house of Allah, just comes and sits down in the house of Allah, then the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make dua for him. Allahumma ghfirhu, Allahumma arhamhu. This is not only after namaz, even before namaz, like once Mawlana Ibn Nur Rahmatullah had mentioned, and we have seen it in the riwayats as well. He's sitting in the house of Allah, and he's just sitting there doing nothing. The angels are saying, Allahumma ghfirhu, Allahumma arhamhu. Oh Allah, have mercy on this person. Oh Allah, forgive this person. He stands up and says, Allahu Akbar, and stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, فَإِنَّ الْمُسَلِّي يُنَاجِي رَبَّهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, that this Musalli is now speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, secretly having a discourse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mention when a person says, Allahu Akbar, all the veils between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are lifted. So to say, he's in communion and he's talking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some riwayas it's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of him. Muhaddisin mentioned this is by way of resemblance. When you're talking to a person, that person is in front of you. Yo, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from makan and place. It's another masla of the aqaid. But the Mufassirin mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by way of example, mentioned to us, this is like a person speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's in front of him, like when two people are talking to each other. Who will dare to go across? Who will dare to come in between to disturb them? Yet we find that sometimes not carrying out and fulfilling the etiquette of the masajid, we come here and we behave in such a manner that instead of the farishtas making dua for us, they say, Uskut ya wali Allah, Uskut ya baghiz Allah, Uskut la'natullahi alayk. But oh, keep quiet, oh wali of Allah, keep quiet, oh friend of Allah, keep quiet, oh person that's despised by Allah, Uskut la'natullahi alayk. Keep quiet, may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you. This very masjid where the angels make dua for us, if we do not follow the etiquette of the masjid, those angels make bad dua for us. This very masjid where we come here to gain reward, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us here that there will come a time when people will come and speak about the dunya. فَلَا تُجَالِسُوهُمْ, do not associate yourself and sit with them. فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ فِيهِمْ حَاجَةً أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of those people that come into these houses and speak about worldly things. Some riwayats it is mentioned, to speak about worldly things in the masjid is like it devours the good deeds, like we find fire eats up dry twigs. Fire, when it's lit in dry twigs, how it eats it up. Similarly, the good deeds of a person are eaten up and destroyed if he comes into the house of Allah and speaks about worldly things. Some riwayats mention that a person's 40 days of his good deeds are destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he comes into the house of Allah and he begins to speak. So these are the etiquettes. One is not to make a noise and disturb the musallis in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by speaking in a loud tone. Speaking about worldly things in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not permissible under any circumstances. We find it so common, two people come in, they sit in the masjid, he meets his friend, he begin to think about, talk about everything. He may ask him first, how are you? Thereafter we find that the talk continues and he's speaking about worldly things sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I started off with cell phones because in my opinion, cell phones is such a destructive thing, not only making a noise, but you are, first of all, the sanctity of the masjid is violated. Most of the phones people have musical tones. Can we imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatul lil alameen, he has been sent to destroy musical instruments. Today the follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings those musical instruments in the best part of the earth, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we find that ringing here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he thinks nothing about it. Can we imagine how far we have gone? And that person that leaves it on, Thereafter he rushes out of the masjid. So to say, he is giving a message to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, you have given me tawfiq to come to your house. But I only come to your house on one proviso. As long as my friend doesn't call me, as long as my wife doesn't call me, as long as my client doesn't call me. Once he calls me and my phone rings, then oh Allah, I have no time for you. I take a U-turn and I leave your house. This is what is sent amount to. Let us ask each other. The person that leaves his phone deliberately on, what does he say? I have some important calls coming. Do you have a more important call than the appointment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can there be more important people in your life than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who controls us, who we are in need of at all times? Can there be somebody more important that we are waiting for his call in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, a person may forget. Even if he forgets, he should ensure that after his phone rings, that he puts it off immediately and does not violate the sanctity of the masjid on one side, and secondly, harass the musallis that are reading the namaz. Remember, there was a great alim, Mawlana Suleiman in Middleburg. Many people must have known him. A very, very pious man. Such a pious man, when somebody had gone overseas and asked him some masail, they said, "You have Mawlana Suleiman, rahmatullahi alayh, such a pious person in your midst. Go and ask him, he's a great alim." On one occasion, he had mentioned that a person that closes the door loudly at the masjid, he falls under the purview of this ayat, فَمَنْ أَزْلَمَ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَيُّسْكَرَ فِيهَا وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا. That person that makes a loud bang at the door of the masjid, he falls under the purview of this ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the question, فَمَنْ أَزْلَمَ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. Who can be more oppressive than that person, مِمَّا مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَيُّذْكَرَ فِيهَا, that stops the people from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the houses of Allah. Who can be more oppressive? In other words, there can be nobody that can be more oppressive that comes between a person and between the ibadah of a person. Another common feature here we find in many masajid are the people cross over when a musalli is reading salat. As I mentioned, when he's busy talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking to Allah, having a secret dialogue with Allah, how can anyone dare to go across him, distract him, and become an impediment and obstruction between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We find this is very common, especially when some musallis are late in the masjid. We find that we cannot stand for 1 minute there and wait for that brother to finish his attahiyat, etc., and come out of the salat. Yet we will be the same people. We'll be standing half an hour outside. All the musallis are gone. We'll be continuing in our worldly talk, etc. We cannot stand 1 minute. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns us and tells us, the mafhum of the hadith is this, that if you knew how serious the consequences will be and what a serious, grievous action it is for a person to cross a musalli, then a person will stand there for 40 years. Person will stand there not for 1 minute or for half a minute to half an hour. He will stand there. It will be better for him to stand there for 40 years than crossing that musalli that is behind him, that has still engaged in salat and you are crossing over. This is another common, we find sickness in our masajid, where we don't show any appreciation or regard for that person that is busy engaged in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, we find nowadays what has become very, very, very common in our midst is the dressing of the musalli. Imagine we are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say, we are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and look at the dressing of that person that comes into the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, no, well, topi is not necessary, ma'azallah. It's just a sunnah. Just a sunnah. Just a sunnah. One sunnah is more valuable than the 7 earth and the 7 skies. And one sunnah can become a means of your salvation and my salvation. People say it's just a sunnah. Today we find people have the audacity of printing that this is not necessary. Bringing some riwayat where once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has used his turban and he put it forth as a sutra. That is why it's not necessary for a person to wear the topi. Can we prove from any riwayat that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even on one occasion, apart from Hajj and Umrah, had made salat without his topi? Taken his topi out, where it stood there and not made his salat. This is just one aspect. Now we are coming with the Bermudas and what have you into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dressed in this manner. Who will dare to go into the magistrate court? Or who will dare to go into a place where people of standing are, people of position are, and dress in that manner, will not find it. But total disregard to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people dress here, we find even short sleeves are worn, people dress in with funny attire and come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this the respect that we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. I remember the elderly people, they used to take pains A lot of pains. Have the special bath on Friday. Have the bath on Friday. Wear proper clothes. Wear the achkan, etc. Ordinary people, not ulama-i kiram, put the itar, etc. Why? They are going to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is another aspect we find that is now lacking. Or we say we are drifting away. We find that immoral dressing sometime of those immoral people is creeping into our ibadat gahs, creeping into the places of worship, creeping into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people have the audacity, even when you give them the topi, etc., they refuse to take it. They refuse to not accept it. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the riwayat used to wear the turban, used to wear the topi, and should read the salat. And they all used to come dressed in a manner that is befitting the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find this is another area of neglect in our society. We should check this before it becomes such that the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not become a means where we are deprived of our rewards. We come here for proximity, for closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions nurun ala nur, thereafter he mentions fi buyutin adil Allah. Mufassirin mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links up the houses of Allah with the nur of Allah. This is the place where you get the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these were some of the things. Another common thing is in the masajid is the parking. Person will come here, in the end, he will park his car in a manner where he is obstructing people. Then he is busy making the sajda and making long dua and making tilawat, etc. And he's hurting the feelings of the Muslims outside. They are waiting, you have to come here and announce ND and NP so and so. You are blocking somebody. And that man had come blindfolded. He does not know the cars before him. These are things that irresponsible people do. Not mu'min that comes here and the place, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that place that teaches us equality, that place that teaches us love, that place that teaches us brotherhood, that place that teaches us kindness, that place where we find, where we gain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, united in the manner that farishta stand, we stand here and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should not be ill-feeling, malice, etc. when we come here. We should not hurt the feelings of people when we come here. We should come here, carry out our ibadah, and leave here in a manner that we are more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is more love engendered by standing shoulder to shoulder. These are so lengthy topics, I have no time to mention, but these are places that teach us these lessons. The king comes here, he takes off his shoes, and we find the subjects are filled in the first serf. He has no right to come into the first serf. He has to stand in the back serf. The boss comes in, he is late, he stands in the last serf. The worker stands in the first serf. The lesson of equality we get every day in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lesson of brotherhood and kindness, etc. We show love to the person that's standing next to us. Among the etiquettes of the masjid is to greet the people when we come. And we know the greeting brings about that love that is engendered in the hearts of the people. It unites the heart of the people. So these are a few of the etiquettes we find that today, nowadays we find that many of us are not showing regard to these etiquettes. As I mentioned, there are two things. One is the sanctity of the masjid. Don't raise our voices in the masjid. Don't do anything that will disturb the musalli in the masjid. Another common thing is the foul smell sometimes of cigarettes, etc. when people come into the masjid. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells his sahaba that if any one of you have eaten garlic or onions, etc., and there's another thing mentioned, leek, kurras, then فَلَا يَقْرُبْ مُسَلَّانَا. Do not come near to our masjid. Do not come to the place of prayer. You find a person smokes cigarettes, come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only disturbing those people, but is mentioned in الْمَلَائِكَ تَتَأَذَّى مِمَّا تَتَأَذَّى الْإِنْسُ أَوِ النَّاسِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Even the farishtas are disturbed and they are inconvenienced with those things that human beings are also inconvenient.